1 to 17, if those of you want to look that up in the Bible. John 15, 1 to 17. The vine and the branches. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciple. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other.
When I'm asked, is there one thing that you've learnt in your life that you would pass on to somebody else, one main thing, there's something that I heard many years ago that always comes to the top of my mind. And that is, God's more interested in who you are than what you do or where you do it. So I'll say that again. God's more interested in who you are than what you do or where you do it. And this demonstrated by Jesus here, because he was interested in the people he was with in his 3 years of ministry and even before that, of course. And this bit, the vine and the branches, is an interesting passage, because where it comes, if you look just back in John 14 before, they were in the upper room. This was the Last Supper. And they had all this stuff going on, and he talked about love and obedience and what have you. And then they left to make their way to the Garden of Gethsemane. And the geography of Jerusalem would have been, they would have walked through the vineyards to do this. And as they walked, Jesus would have given them this last sort of teaching about, you know, the example of the vines, about you need to stay in me, you need to be close to me, and what that involves. And so that's what I'm going to talk about initially, is what is this? And I'm going to talk about the benefits of staying close to Jesus, of being connected, staying connected and being in the vine. And then I'll talk about the requirements, because they may not be as you think. We have a certain mindset sometimes that I think is not very healthy for us. So thinking about bearing fruit, first of all, that is, you know, what we all love to do, is bear fruit in our own lives, bear fruit in the lives of people that we touch, that we enable them to do that. And that's right at the beginning of this reading. If you click to the next one, Nick. verses 1 to 8 all talks about bearing fruit, that's important. How nice it is to be fruitful in our lives. And you know, get away from the thing about being prosperous or anything like that, but being fruitful. I always think as you get older, you go from thinking about success in life to thinking about being significant in your life. And this is more about being significant to other people. So bearing fruit, one of the benefits. I love enabling other people to do that, as well as having that in my own life. So that's the first benefit. Second benefit, in verse 7. Let's read again verse 7. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, whatever you wish, and it will be given you. If I had a worldly mindset, I'd think, oh great, there's all sorts of stuff I want. If I just ask, God's going to give it to me. But of course, if you read everything that the Bible says about asking God for things, or asking Jesus for things, it's all about getting in the same mindset as Jesus and wanting the same things. And the closer you get to him, you realize you want what he wants. And when you ask, because you're kind of in tune with him, you get what you ask for. I would rather ask things and then get them than ask for something else that maybe I thought I wanted more and then never have it. So what I really want is a process of God changing what I want in life and what I want from him. So this also comes as being part of the vine. It's very much connected. Third one, experiencing Christ's love from obedience. So this bit about experiencing his love, because he talks about, and I think it's probably in the previous passage, he talks about he has love from the Father, and we can experience love from Jesus by staying close to him. And that's a reward from doing that. We feel his love. But then there's also this interesting thing about obedience that also is talked about in the previous thing, is actually we often think we have this kind of guilty mindset, don't we? We have to do what God's asking us to do in order to have his love, as if it's a little bit, you know, tit for tat. That's just not like that at all. God says, just come and be close to me and love me, and then the obedience is something actually that will follow. You'll start to want to do the right thing. It won't be so much of a chore, because you'll want to do them. So I find that really, really interesting, because all of us lapse into the thing about, oh, I need to do the right thing for God, and actually it really comes from the love side. Next thing in verse 11 that's talked about, complete joy. Oh, we could spend a whole sermon on this, couldn't we? I mean, who of us doesn't need more joy in our lives? We do. But what kind of joy? Is it? Is it the sort of surface stuff that comes from, you know, the little wins and little satisfactions? Or is it something that goes much deeper? And here we have a joy, a complete joy that comes from being one with the vine, being close to Jesus and one with him. That does, when you get there, you know, as many of you have probably been there, it brings a peace and a satisfaction and a joy in life you just can't get anywhere else. It's amazing. And once you discover that, it is like a pearl of great price. You want to hold on to it. You want to grow it. And that's another reward of staying close to the vine. Next one talks in this passage about friendship. You're not servants, you're friends. He says, being close to the vine means that you're friends with me. And we have a friendship. We act like friends. You will all have close friends. That's what it's like with Jesus. We often still talk about serving him with our lives, but actually it's like serving a friend and helping a friend, rather than serving a master who doesn't know us and who we're always trying to please. It's not like that. It's like a friend. And then the last one I've got, benefits, is a love for each other. This love that comes from the Father to the Son and from the Son to us, and it is two-way, then we're able to pass that forward. We're able to love other people. If you want to know how to love other people and how to love the unloved, learn about that love from Jesus. Let him love you and love him back. and grow that, and that will grow in you a love for other people that you, again, you just can't get anywhere else. You can't cultivate that yourself. That comes from God. So there are all the benefits. So what are the requirements? So here you're saying, so what's the catch? What do I need to do for the benefits? So what is this thing that we have, you know, the key to all this? It's in the last verse. It says, love each other. So, you know, that was our last point there. And actually, Jesus said that obeying me means, this is my command, right at the end, love each other. So if you find it hard to know how to love God, then you could start by loving each other, and that's part of the key. That is his command. But of course, we have this word love that we think, you know, in English, love is the translation from several words in the Greek that all mean slightly different things, and many other languages have several words for what we term as love. So this isn't a romantic love. It isn't like a falling in love, although that can be part of it. This is like the deep friendship that you would have with somebody, like a close family member or a close friend. The more you get to know them, you grow together, you have a love for them, and you start to want to do things for them, and you start to reciprocate all of that. It becomes something that is sometimes quite hard to describe. But I'm going to talk about, so what is that? What constitutes a love for somebody else? So we'll go on to the next slide here. So it's about support for each other. That's really another, is almost a better word for that. How we support each other in the Christian community and even others outside. That's what it's all about. One of the courses I teach is a course called Serving Ascenders. It's one I do in churches. I've done like 60 or 70 of these courses now over the last 20 years or so in churches all across the UK and one or two overseas. A chap who wrote the book, an American chap from San Diego, got to know him quite well over the years. He proposes that there are six forms of supporting other people. And because of his background and my background, I use this in the course to relate to how we can support people who are at a distance, i.e. the missionaries maybe that we know, and all of us know people who are away somewhere and who need our support one way or another. So I'm going to use that as part of the going through these six areas, but I'm also going to relate to it as to how you can support each other, because they do relate to that as well. So six areas. These all come out of Philippians. And again, this week, if you want to go and read Philippians, it's not very long, the book of Philippians, and see if you can spot these different areas of support in the various verses there, because they're all there. The church in Philippi was a good example of providing support for Paul. He often, you know, hailed the church in Philippi. So that's a good example. If you want to look at a bad example, start reading stuff about the church in Corinth. And they kind of went off the rails a few times, and Paul had to admonish them. But Philippi is a great example. So these come out of that, those chapters. So the first one, moral support. First support, just being there. We all know what moral support is because we have people who we sort of rely on for moral support. It may be that, like, if we have a hospital appointment or something like that, we might ask them, could you come with me? We don't want their medical expertise. We just want them to be with us, to be present. But the parts of moral support, I think, are quite important, and certainly important when you're a distance from somebody, is the fact that, you know, there are people who validate you, who understand your motivation and your vision, and who affirm you at different times. And I know from being overseas in isolated situations, the moral support of people that I knew believed in us, and they might have done some of the other things, but they were just there, was important. So that's the first thing we can do for each other, is make ourselves available and be encouraging to each other. That's a part of support. That's a part of love that's very demonstrated. Second one. Logistical support, practical things, providing help where it's needed. And for folk that are a distance, of course, you realise there's often very practical things that they need because they're not around. And people that end up going overseas, they might leave behind properties or family, and somebody else could take care of some of the practical things that are needed back home whilst they're busy doing their ministry. But of course, you know, for each other, sometimes the best way to help somebody is just to offer a bit of practical support. You know, whether it's mowing a lawn or baking a cake or whatever, something practical that demonstrates your love and support for them. It speaks volumes. Third one, financial support. I've spent the last 12, 13 years doing some training for stewardship, the organisation in London, and we've done them all over the country, these things, helping people raise their own financial support, because most missionaries have to do this. You'll probably be aware of that because you probably hear about it. But again, like all of us, it's quite easy to get the wrong idea in your mind about it. And that's something that we try to do on the course. And one of the things is, it's about good stewardship of God's resources. Everything belongs to him, as I prayed earlier on. Everything you see around you is rightfully his, whether it's been appropriated by somebody else or not. So God's not short of resources. So it's about our stewardship quite often. So our responsibility is to steward whatever resources God gives to us well. And so it's about stewardship, it's sometimes about change in lifestyle, and it's about the great Christian principle of giving and receiving. And what's more blessed out of those two? To give, isn't it? That's the verse. So if I think, because I've been a missionary, I've been on the receiving end, that's kind of the less blessed life, isn't it, if you're a receiver rather than a giver? Why should the givers have all the fun? So it's encouraged me to be a giver as well. And everybody that receives support from somebody else should also be giving, and that sort of completes the picture. That's a great thing, because I heard in a short devotional talk years ago by somebody in the States when I was doing some of my orientation there, she said, if God wants to get his resources from one place to another, he'll often pass it through several people, and each people in that chain need to be a good receiver and a good giver, and if they're not both, it blocks the chain. Now, God in his greatness often circumnavigates them and achieves his purposes, but I don't want to be the person that God goes round. I want to be the person that God works through. So that's us too. We constantly examining ourselves. Where can we use the resources, the financial resources that God's given us to support others and to bless others and to show our love for them? Fourthly, prayer support, of course. This is an amazing tool, prayer. Years ago, there was a book written by Stephen Gortroger, who was on the Spring Harvest Planning Group, wrote a book called Why Bother with Mission? And he has a whole chapter in that about email, because it was in its early infancy. But he said, you know, it wasn't just about email, it was about prayer. But he started it off by saying, do you know, prayer's better than email. Email, you know, it takes a few seconds to go around the world, but prayer, it's instantaneous, and it's kind of outside time anyway. And the ability to pray wherever you are, and if you remain this business about being in the vine, God often prompts us to pray for something we have no idea about, and it affects what's going on at the other end. And you will probably have, all of you, or most of you have instances in your life where something's been going on in your life, and without knowing what it is, somebody else had been praying for you at that point in time. I've had several of these. It's just remarkable. I think prayer is such an amazing tool. So be aware of that, that even at different times throughout your day, you know, I say to God, is there anybody you want me to pray for briefly while I'm in the car driving there? You know, is there somebody that needs my prayer support at this point in time? So it is a form of support for each other. A gift, if you like, that God gives us to enable us to help each other. Number five, communication support. Particularly when folk are at a distance, keeping in touch with them is important. And again, just like the prayer thing, you'll realize that actually if you're in touch with God about your communications, whether it's texts or WhatsApp or emails or anything else or through Facebook, then if you're in touch with God, he'll probably prompt you with the words to say to the right person at the right time. And that ends up being quite significant. So that's the way we demonstrate our love and support. One very quick example of this, Barry and Jenny will know these people. Back at the square, there was a couple. He used to stand up at the church council meetings and complain about the youth club all the time. And I was the representative on the church council from the youth club. I used to think he had a ministry of discouragement. So I had this view of Percy. They will know who this is now because he comes good in the end. So, yeah, and I used to think, you know, he was always putting a downer on stuff. And then when we were overseas, one week, on a Thursday it was, I seemed to get the letter. The letter took a long time, but it was a letter from Percy and Hilda. And he said in this letter, "We pray for you quite regularly, and at this point when we prayed for you, we thought we should write." And his letter was full of encouragement. I couldn't believe it. It was kind of like God saying to me, "You thought you knew him, didn't you?" But used him to encourage us. It was so meaningful. And the next time we were back home, I had a chat with Percy to thank him for what he'd done. So you realize if you're in touch with God, he can use your communication to demonstrate love for somebody else at key points in time. Very important. And then re-entry is the last one here. As far as missionaries are concerned, when they come to visit you, whether they're here temporarily or more permanently, you've got such an ability to help them because they don't know stuff and they don't know people. So you can introduce them to people. That's a really valuable thing to do that will demonstrate your support and your love for them. And you can help them do things. We have a missionary friend in Gloucester who was in Japan for over 30 years. And each time she came back on furlough, and now she's retired back to Gloucester, she asked people in the church, "When I go and do the bank and the post office and the supermarket thing, could you come with me just to help me? Because I have no idea how the self-checkout works or whatever, you know." So, and of course, somebody said, "Oh yeah, I can do that. Is that all you needed?" You know, but it's just a good way of supporting them, introducing them to how to do things and introducing them to people. So that's the re-entry when somebody's overseas. But of course, they don't have to be overseas. It's about being welcoming in your church and in your homes to people who you have no idea what they're going through, and that might make a huge difference to them if you make them feel at home and show them your love through that very practical way. So you'll pick up from the next slide here, showing love for each other is what this is all about. That's a good place to start. If you're not sure how to stay close to Jesus and to stay in the vine and think you might be doing the wrong thing, then loving each other is the command that enables you to unlock what it's like to stay close to Jesus. So that is our task, to love each other. I think it's top of our list above anything else, and some of the other things that we do shouldn't even be on there. So I'm going to end with a quote before Cheryl's going to come up and lead us in some prayer. This quote's from Billy Graham. You might have heard this, but I kind of like this. He says, "It's the Holy Spirit's job to convict, and it's God's job to judge. It's my job to love."
Okay, let us pray. Let's just take a few moments to think about maybe something that has spoken to us this morning. Maybe something that God has challenged us about. Maybe something that we need to do or tackle. Holy Spirit, would you come now and speak clearly to each one of us? Thank you that your heart is for us. that you love each one of us beyond all reason. And you have such plans and hopes for each one of us. Help us to have the courage to put into action what you have spoken about. And as we have our eyes closed, we just ask you to give us a picture of that vine. That vine which is so strong that we can tap into it and receive resources, be encouraged, be loved, be included. But also that we can produce fruit and give out. Lord, would you help us to take the picture that we have into this day, into this week, into this year? And Lord, challenge us to love others, but also perhaps to love ourselves as you love us. Thank you, Father, for the way that you speak. And Father, we turn our prayers to those who are in need of help from you at this time, our prayers of intercession. Father, we ask that you will give us your Holy Spirit to help us as we do pray. We pray for our church throughout the world. Many countries where they are meeting this morning today to worship you. We pray for this church and all the members here. Father, we ask that we may be constantly renewed by your Holy Spirit for mission and service in this community and beyond. And we say the prayer, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the peoples of the world and their leaders, that they may seek justice, freedom, and peace for all people. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for our own country, for those who are in authority. We pray for the king and the royal family, for government, for local government, and those who have much influence in our communities. Lord, may they serve with wisdom, honesty, and compassion. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And we pray for all those we know who are in sorrow and need, anxiety or sickness at this time. And just in a moment of silence, we name those who are suffering in this way. Father, would you bring your healing power on each of those people that we're thinking of? Would you release your healing power that they may know your presence and receive healing in their bodies, in their minds, in their lives? We pray for all those who suffer from cruelty, injustice, or neglect, that in their weakness they may know your strength and in their despair find hope. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And we finish with a verse from John 16, verse 33, which says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Amen.
Sing our last hymn together, King of Kings.